Or grand raising, everybody. Natalie coming to you live, spoon coffee. Got my coffee here. Oh, so yummy. So, I smacked myself in the face. Funny way to start this off, right? just not being careful. And I was at the car wash and I literally, good morning, smacked myself right, boom, in the face. And so my face is a little sore. When I smile, it kind of hurts. Not too much of a bruise. I thought I was going to get a black eye, but I didn't. So thank heavens. But I think it jolted my sinuses. So yesterday I felt really nasally. I hope that's a word. It doesn't matter. I felt very nasally. And a little bit out of it, and also been feeling really tired. So health is critical. Please make sure that you guys are taking care of your health. Health is critical. It's important. And if we don't feel good, then we are not going to be able to do good things, right, in our life. We're going to just be miserable and not be able to, you know, support ourselves through the challenging times. So please take care of yourself. And I'm drinking Adobe Morning by Pignon Coffee. Good morning, Alfie. How are you? Pignon Coffee is, if you don't know, it's a company here in New Mexico, and they have something called Adobe Morning. It's so delicious. And love it. Good. I'm glad you're wonderful. It's been a while. In fact, really... now that you're on here, talking about the sort of the prophecy, which is kind of funny because I was talking about prophecy yesterday, and sort of I remember you were talking about clairvoyance, and now I tell people I'm clairvoyant because of you, just so you know. So you're on, go around telling people I am clairvoyant. I feel energy. I know what's going on. I see things. I understand the whole, everything that's going on before it happens. But yesterday you were talking about prophecy, and I know that you sort of see sort of into the future in a way. But what I learned in, of course, looking up, you know, what is the definition of prophecy? And it's the ability for us to see the will of the gods or understand what the will of gods are and sort of see the patterns in people's life. We are the manifestation of God in action. So as we start to engage in what I call this grand illusion, there are certain archetypal patterns or these patterns that have already been set, and we can sort of start to see the patterns arise. So we can start to see, oh yeah, we're just repeating history, or that individual's just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And sometimes it's really hard for us to say, well, how do we get out of this, right? How do we change our thought processes and stop repeating the same patterns over and over and over again, sort of like hitting our head on the table, and we're just keep going in circles. And it's almost like a dog chasing its tail, right? Consistently, constantly going in circles and circles and circles and circles and circles. And so we can see it, right? We have this ability to see into it. Good morning, Linga. How are you? Good morning, Nirvana. So, been talking about that. Now, the prophecies that have come to our planet, to our world, is sort of that we have this choice that we have to make. We're coming to the precipice of change where we are looking at the world or the worldviews that have sort of constructed this dynamic of this world. And now we're looking at it from a perspective of integration or holism. And a lot of people still see the world in a duality, right? An us versus them, and, you know, an up and a down, a right and a wrong, a black and a white. So we're bridging the gaps between that at this point. And some people, of course, are not going to want to accept that we are at this place where we have to accept it all in order to transcend or in order to remember and recognize our wholeness. We are whole, perfect, and complete in our own right. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not damaged. And yet we continue to look outside ourselves for answers when the answers, again, are inside, right? Everything is inside of you. And it's kind of hard to feel that sometimes, right? We're like, okay, yeah, everything's inside of me. Then why can't I, you know, change my day-to-day activities where I'm getting up, going to work, getting home, getting up, going to work? It almost seems like this repeated pattern, repeated day over and over and over and over and over again, right? Until the weekend comes, and then maybe we have some time, or maybe we're just too damn exhausted to do anything because we've been doing this sort of doggy chasing the tail all week long. But now we're in a place where we're saying this doesn't work. And I had a talk with this young millennial, right? And she was kind of pissed. She didn't want me to put these generalizations on her. And she just said, we're sick of being, you know, we know that there's a better way, that we don't have to bust our butts off to just survive. And I said, you're right. I get it. It feels like, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck. And these kiddos are like, you guys don't pay enough. In other words, they understand that they're just sort of slaves to the system. And get back to work, millennial. See, and that is our programming, right? Get back to work. This is how we've been programmed. Here's what I did tell this millennial. I said, look, if we're not working at a job, we would be working in the farms. We've got to work somehow, some way. But at the same token, the reward or the reward that we get for the work that we do, they understand that they literally are not paying them enough to survive. And I said, okay, I get it. That's the biggest problem. In the what? What do you mean, Linga? In the what? You want to get on here and talk to us? I could let you in unless you're too tired. I know it's nighttime for you. So when we're looking at prophecy, we're starting to see that there's this, it's so late, sorry. Oh, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We're starting to see that we're at this, sort of crossroads, right? And we talked about it, and I've talked about it before in the ancient traditions where they prophesized a time where, you know, the rainbow people would come together, right? And they would stand up for the natural resources. So, you know, we have the water line, like we talked about the other day, Lakota coming out and saying, you know, we are the protectors of the water. We are protectors of the world. We are protectors of Mother Earth. And we're coming back to that. How is that going to play out? I have no idea, because technology and going back to nature, they're fighting with each other at this point. Right? Who gets attention? Who's going to get the attention? Is it going to be Mother Earth, or is it going to be technology? Well, right now, I would say technology is winning. As much as we want to say that it's not, it is. And I can tell you that it's winning because about, I don't know what the percentages are, make up a percentage. You guys can tell me if you know the right percentages. I would say that 98% of the population is glued to their phone. That 98% of the population is addicted to their phone. And in fact, we are looking at, so if you look at these series, okay, I told you guys, I watch TV. And when I do, it's Netflix and it's a series. Usually I'll get into a series, and it's usually at the end of the night if I have time, right? Not a big TV watcher, but I will tell you there are a couple of series that I'm watching, and it's relevant to what's going on in our world at this point. It's relevant. It's no longer science fiction. Before, we'd watch TV and we'd be like, whoa, that just seems science fiction. Now it's science reality. It's science real, not fiction. Okay. Science nonfiction, maybe. I don't know. So when we look at it, there's a couple of things that I'm watching. So one of them is the 100. I don't know if anybody's watching this. My cousin told me, please watch it. I said, fine, I'll watch it. And I started to watch the 100. The 100, again, is sort of this, it's almost like it's set in the future of what happened. Like there was radiation, the world went to shit, but they figured out how to live in space. And they said, I'm going to live in space for 100 years before 100 years. We're going to live in space until the radiation goes away and we, you know, the air is breathable on Earth. Well, they send some people down to Earth, and there's already tribes still living here. So some people survived. And after generation and generation and generation, the DNA was able to metabolize the radiation. And so there's this evolved sort of tribe. And then we have a tribe that's not evolved. And they are, you know, the people that live in the mountain and give themselves these treatments so that they don't die from the radiation. Okay. And then you have the people that came from this aircraft or whatnot. Now, when we look at it from the perspective of what's going on the planet, it's war. Everything's about war and territory, right? And strength. These people that have been living on the land feel like they have to protect it, right? And protect their tribes, their clans, because the people living in the mountains, right, are trying to take their resources, which are their people, and use them to harvest their blood. Okay, so a little extreme. However, if we look at the relevance today, we are at a point right now where we have the technology to literally blow up everybody. And if we didn't blow up everybody, we have the technology to blow up the planet. And then if it didn't harm you, well, the radiation or the fact that there would be a big cloud coverage and block out the sun and everything would go cold and die. So we have that capability, okay? That's part of it. But then also we have the technology that's taking away the natural resources. Now, Mother Earth can fight back, and she will if she feels like we keep taking from her to the point where she's going to be barren. She will fight back. And so the resources right now, we say, well, there's abundance of resources, but what we're doing is we're ripping and stripping away a lot of the resources right now. Who does it matter for? Well, the survival of our species, in fact. The survival and also the preservation of these other species that are actually going extinct, right? So we're at this point, and it's been prophesied that this would happen. Now, there's a lot of reasons why we are living into this, and most of you guys already know, right? It is based on the patriarchy, and patriarchy rapes and takes, and I'm not talking about gender, but it's forceful, and it takes what it wants, and then it becomes all-consuming. I want more. I want control. I want power. Okay? This is the shadow side of it. Okay, not a masculine thing. So this is not a thing to guys. This is more of an esoteric, spiritual, alchemic, if you want to look at it from that perspective, right? It is the symbology by which we live. Now, this is interesting because when we talk about the symbology by which we live, people don't realize, right? I talk about sacred geometry. Most people don't know that most of our hieroglyphics, right? When they started doing hieroglyphics, when we started to write language and all that, we started to look at symbols as a way to describe the world. Right now, we are describing the world through a patriarch. That most of the world, not all the world, but most of the world. Now, in order for us to shift the storyline, and in order for us to wake up and transcend, in order for us to really connect into our spiritual essence and to remember who we truly are and divine purpose and to live into that and to heal the planet is to integrate the sacred feminine. Okay, now if we looked at it from a symbolic perspective, we would say it is the upward facing pyramid. That has been left out of all of the models, especially here in the Western world. We've ripped that model right out of the system. This is called holism or integration, where we bridge the gap and we bring both in. Now, this is both ideologies, mindsets, and way of thinking the world. So here we go into transpersonal psychology, right? It's all interconnected, so stay with me. We can go from one subject to another. That is holism anyway, because everything is interconnected. We can see the connections between all of it. It's like I was talking about yesterday. When we breathe, we are dependent upon that oxygen. If that oxygen gets cut off, we die. But the plants are dependent on our CO2 that comes out of our mouth. So there's this interdependence. It's almost this invisible thing that happens that we don't even realize. We don't even think about it. No one's thinking about it. You guys aren't going throughout your day. Tell me, raise your hand and please chime in if you're going throughout your day and saying, yeah, I'm interdependent on this planet every little second of the day. That it's an interdependence. That we need each other. That I need those plants. When you're looking at the trees, are you saying, oh, yeah, I absolutely need that tree? No, what we do is we say, I need that tree to cut down for wood when there's a better way, right? And then we just go and we take all the trees without ever thinking because we want more, better, bigger. Do you know how many homes are just sitting there with nobody living in them? We're over-consuming. We're oversaturated. Villages in the past had enough space for each family, and that was that. Now we have, don't even get me into the way that banks operate and all that stuff, because that's like a whole other 50 billion trillion. I do regularly. Yes, good lingo, I'm glad. Well, yes, you're in the forest, and it's because you're doing, you know, major things. Well, I guess I won't talk about it. Sorry. I know you're private, so I won't say. But let's just say that it's because you're connected to nature in a big way. That's why. Some people are not. I don't want to do the Freudian slip on you. That old Indian saying, when you have eaten three everything and chopped down the trees, only then will man release. He can't eat. Yeah, realize he can't eat money. Sorry, release. Realize he can't eat money. Amen. Can't eat money. So we are at a precipice of change. How do you change, you guys? Like, literally, I'm trying to put some urgency on it because it takes us. We have to be able to collaborate, right? And so we're looking at this 100, right? And they're saying we cannot survive unless we stop this war. We're at war with ourselves. We think we're at war with other countries, other people, but the reality is the war is raging inside of us. That war that's raging inside of us has become the reality of our external world. This war is the war to remember who we are, the battle that says, who are you? How do I relate to this world? That's a war that's raged inside. They've stripped, they've programmed, they've beaten, they've made people scared. They've allowed us to just live in fear, right? Because why fear? So they can what? Control. The war is not an external war. When we overcome the war within, when we look within and we learn how to integrate, right? Not just one-sided, but integrate. If people are just looking at the sciences for answers, right? They're not, that's not integration. There's an intuition about you. There's something deep inside of you that science can't explain. Only you can explain. I was listening to Reverend Armani. Now, I love it. I'm going to tell you guys, The Science of Mind. I don't know if you heard it. And again, the word science is in there. But when we look at Science of Mind, and I love the pastor, she's really great. And I was listening to her, but talking about soul as you. So they take a lot of the integration and how do we begin to see soul as us? How do we begin to remember who we are? Remember that we are the manifestation of God in action, that you are God in action, that you are a soul in action. But we've forgotten. One, breathe. Two, use both your ears and use four of them proportionally against your own one mouth. Yes. The more, good morning, Bramax. The more you look at the world, the more you will integrate with natural rhythm and flow. Yes. Connects us with life. Form at its most basic with our human-made constructs. Yes. And our human-made constructs. And that's what we've done. Now, it's not to say human-made constructs can't be beautiful, but if they're in harmony. So there is a myth that they talk about in this book, and the myth or the prophecy, not myth, I'm sorry, the prophecy, talks about the waking of, let's see if I can find it. Here we go. There's the rainbow prophecy. So it talks about the all-consuming energy, the all-consuming energy that's greedy and wants more and wants bigger. And so it's basically that more, 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 and it eats and eats and eats and eats and eats, right? It's like gluttony, right? It's like eating to the point where you throw up and you can't do it anymore. And that is what's happening. Consume, 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 consume. And what are we consuming? We're consuming the programming that they give us. We're consuming so much. And it's none of the stuff, right? Time and money. We're consuming these things that are not necessarily there to program us into holism and integration. Looking at how do I come back to remembering who I am, remembering that soul is in me, it is me, and that I am the divine print of God. How do I remember this? How do I start to become and wake up from my slumber and start to remember this? You can even write it like, who am I? Who am I as soul? There's a good question that we were asking around, what would soul do? What would my soul do? Right? Because you're looking at yourself and you're manifesting your God self. You're so spot on. I gotta go to bed. Oh, good night, Linga. We are consuming ourselves. Yep. We are consuming ourselves, and we are not allowing ourselves to find the integration, the holism. We've been programmed that way. We're at war with ourselves. That's what we are. We think we're at war with China. We think we're at war with Russia. And this, I'm talking from the American perspective. We think we're at war with Afghanistan and all these. No, we're not. We're at war with ourselves. We forgot who we were. Now, let's just talk about the Western world and all of the stuff that was taken away, right? Because they came and they took our rites, our rituals. They took all of that away. And if you did any of your rituals, or if you did any of your ceremonies or anything that would heal you or the tribes, it got ripped away. So not just here in the Western world did that get ripped away from us. That got ripped away from everybody. And there was this quote that I absolutely love in the book, right? And it says that the soul will search for its healing. So literally the Western, so when we had Europeans come and invade the Western world, right? When they came here and they said, we're going to take away the land from the tribes. Really what they were saying is, I need help. I have a war raging inside of me. I'm only seeing life through the lens of consumption and the patriarchy. Everything else has been ripped away. I don't even know how to see the divine feminine in her grace. And in fact, I'm just going to make fun of it and bastardize it and act as though it isn't worthy. I've forgotten. I've fallen asleep. Help me. We're crying for help is what's happening internally. And it's an internal battle. When you find your holism, when you find that connection inside of yourself and you bridge the gap, you are not at war with anything. You don't have to be at war. You don't have to rage war, because you realize that the war is not an external battle. It's an internal thing. Is it your fault? No. Do you think they want people to have this information? Hell no. Because then what? They feel like they've lost their control. And by they, I mean the ones that are pulling the strings. And if you say you're not a part of it, I'm sorry, you are. We all are. We're all each other. Wake up. That's all I gotta say is wake up. Remember who you are. Look into holism. Look into integration and see what that's about. Look into the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine. That'll give you some really good ideas about spiritual alchemy, how to transcend. We cannot transcend without finding holism, without finding the inner balance of who we are, remembering that we are God in motion. Until then, we're at war with ourselves, we're at war with the world. You guys have the power, you guys are strong, you have the will, you have all the tools you need, you can do it. Is it easy? No, because the battle inside is a lot harder than looking at the battle outside. Why do you think we focus on drama? We'd rather watch drama TV and we'd rather notice that the drama is even telling my mom this. I noticed that the drama gets more attention than not. We're not always celebrating, right? We're always looking at the negative stuff. And I shouldn't even say negative. I should just say the drama, the grand illusion of the drama. We love it. We feed off of it. What's popular on TV? Drama. What do people love to watch? The drama. And it keeps them in that perpetual cycle of, oh, it's out there, it's not in me. No, when you turn that shit off and you start to look at yourself, guess what? It's in you. We don't want to face it. Too scary, too much. But the wars will not stop until we stop the war within ourselves. So it takes working on who we are and ourselves and how we show up in the world, remembering who we are. Okay. You are the divine in motion. You are a fingerprint of God. You are the face of God, believe it or not. You are. They've taken that away from us, told us that we're not. And yes, you are. You are the face of God in action, creator, whatever you want to call it, you know, to call it God, Yahweh, whatever. And in order to get back to that source, that bliss, that wholeness, that joy, we have to remember who we are. We have to wake up and remember. The only way to get there is to see the pieces that are missing and integrate them into your life. The pieces that are missing, especially if you live in a patriarchal model, are the sacred feminine. You've got to look at that. That's intuition, okay? That's reflection. That's the moon. That's the dark. That's the dark night of the soul. Those are the things that we're afraid to go through. They've made us afraid of it. But it's our greatest power. You've got to walk through the dark to get to the light. There's not a way around it, over it, under it. You got to go through it. And some call it the dark night of the soul. It's a death and a rebirth. It's a maybe when you're doing a rebirth, we're coming out of the darkness. If you think about a child in a birth, which I talked about the other day, we're in darkness, right? We're in this, in the womb. It's not so bright in there, is it? It's all slushy and there's all kinds of murky, icky, sticky stuff. Yeah, you got to go through that shit. Remember who you are, please. Thank you, please. You're the face of God. Integration, holism. Figure out how to integrate that into your life. How to use the sacred feminine in your life. That would be your intuition, your inner knowing, your connection to all, to your mouth, to just be silent and listen to the bees, the trees, the wind, the water. It has a message for you. And when that calling happens and you're able to hear it, you can start to heal the internal war that's raging inside of you. Our internal battle is going to be greater than any battle that we see in the external world. That's why nobody wants to pay attention to it. They'd rather pay attention to the war happening on the external than the war happening on the internal, so they can point the finger. Fix it. I shouldn't even say fix it. I should say heal it. That's a better word. Sorry. Heal it. Go heal yourselves. You guys are great healers. And it's going to take the great healers and the five people that are on here or the small amount of people who hear the message to really get it. You guys are the healers. You guys don't need to look to somebody else. You are the great healers of the world. You're the ones who have the medicine inside of you to heal yourself, to start to heal the world. It starts with the inner healing, and you guys have it. You guys are powerful, and you have the opportunity to do it. And this is the time. There is no other time. You don't need to look to somebody else to tell you you're a healer. There's an internal knowing. You know it. You're special. You have a divine purpose. And unless you wake up and stop the war inside of you, guess what? Ain't gonna happen. So start focusing on healing the internal war that's raging inside of you. Look into integration and holism. There are tons of practices that can help you get through it. I'm always here. If you have questions, you can email me at spiritandbrew@gmail.com. I'm going to be coming out with courses, of course, because we get to do this together as a family. We don't need to kill each other. We don't need to fight for resources. We don't, and you guys hear this over and over again, but we don't have to. It's already bullshit. Calling bullshit on the whole thing. It's time that we stop. Start loving each other. Start loving ourselves. Remember we're the face of God. And remember that your soul is here to serve. Okay, I hope that was helpful. Got a little preachy at the end. Might start crying. But you are beautiful, 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 beautiful people, okay? So I love you guys. Have the most amazing day ever. And of course, I will be seeing you all tomorrow. Keep going, keep good. Remember that you are a warrior in that battle inside of you. You guys have the tools. Slay that shit, okay? All right. I love you guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.